Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, I like this song, Owner of a Lonely Heart. Is there a reason why you're playing this? Or is it just, did it just come up for you, Evan?
Oh, no, this is just like my bumps, and I really like this song.
All right. I do, too. I like it. All right, we'll roll with it. It can be pretty lonely when you're picking at 30 and not knowing, you know, who's going to be available. So that's a good segue right there. How about that, right? Got to tie that in there. Good morning to you, to everybody. Sal Capaccio with you back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you. Had a nice vacay down in Florida. Yes, it was my second time down there over the last month. I was there for the NFL owners meetings. A little bit of work. Some play as well. But this one was all pretty much pleasure and play. A lot going on, though. Went down there and just on the West Coast where I used to live. I used to live down in a little town called Englewood. You might be familiar with it. And then that's right between like Sarasota and Fort Myers. And it's also right between even more so Port Charlotte and Venice. And they have that great flight that flies right out of Niagara Falls down to Punta Gorda, which is right there, so it makes it easier. And went down there, spent time in Venice at my mother-in-law's, who still lives there. And then we drove up to Orlando on Saturday and went to Legoland, which I still love. We were going to do Disney, but it was, I mean, the prices at Disney were just like, it was sticker shock. And I know a lot of you go, and that's great. And we will at some point. Max was like, hey, I haven't done Disney in a few years. We're not like a big Disney family, but it is awesome there. And I'm like, okay. And I looked into it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. We didn't plan for this. Let's see. So Legoland was a lot cheaper and more efficient. So we did it this time. I think we're going to do Disney maybe during the Bills bye week or something like that. That's been the thought around the household here in Capaccio household. What about you? You a Disney guy there, Evan?
Yes, I am a Disney guy. I actually, yeah. I've never in probably the last 15, 20 years, I think I've gone to Disney twice in my life. Most recent was this past summer with my girlfriend. I'll say there are definitely times of year you should go. She chose August because that's usually when most of the kids are like going back to school. So that was like our window of opportunity and where things were a little bit cheaper. Like you said, it all depends on the time. And I'll tell you, I will never go to Disney without her because she knew everything and I knew nothing.
That was the other thing. So I'll get to that in a second, which is really cool. Let me wrap up my Orlando part because that was interesting. So we go to Orlando and we do Legoland and then we stay and we went out to dinner with friends and we go to this restaurant and literally right next to us at the table next to us was Bo Outlaw, who used to play for the Orlando Magic. I don't know if you know who Bo Outlaw is, but he used to play for the Orlando Magic. Apparently, it was his 54th birthday, because literally we were sitting there. They brought him out a cake, and he said, yeah, 54. I think so. Look it up. You can see that. And sitting right there at his table celebrating with him was Ken Griffey Jr.'s wife. And I'm like, oh, my God. And friends we were with knew her and knew Bo and the group. But I mean, I didn't know them. So introduced me. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm a Yankee fan. But your husband was, I didn't say I was a Yankee fan, but I am. And I was like, your husband was like my favorite baseball player growing up. I had a few favorite baseball players. I loved the Yankees. I loved Mattingly, Ricky Henderson, and Dave Winfield. Those were my three guys. But man, I was a Griffey guy. I love Griffey. I was a center fielder and left-handed hitter. And that's what he is, was, and man, amazing. And it just so happened, why wasn't Griffey there? Did you see the story last week, Evan? Ken Griffey Jr. was a credentialed photographer at the Masters. And he actually took some really great shots of Rory after Rory won.
I saw that. I noticed that he was talking at the Masters. And I don't know if he was saying like what he had a take that I might have heard somewhere. And I just disagreed with it. Something about that maybe golf was a lot harder of a sport than baseball, and or the, like, baseball is a harder sport than golf. And I just was just like, I don't agree with that. I think golf is a lot harder. I'm not trying to say baseball's easy, but comparing the two, I would say golf is probably a lot more harder.
Yeah, it was it was really interesting to see. He's a credentialed photographer. I think Bernie Williams is doing that too, I believe. Former Yankee, being a photographer, which is really cool. So that was great. So just got a chance to hang out and talk. And then so we go to Tampa then after that. Plan was to go to the Sabres game on Sunday night. We did that. I met up with my buddy TJ Reeves. TJ has come on the show a lot. In fact, he was on last week because he was at the Final Four and he was calling the game as part of the crew for my apologies, the radio service he works for online. And he was at the Final Four, but he's the Buccaneers sideline reporter. So we met up and went to lunch with him and his wife. But they are, now his wife, I guess, so they live down there, and his wife goes to Disney all the time with their twin girls. And that's when she said, listen, if you want to go, like, we'll go with you when you come down. And what you said, Evan, is right. Like, if you go with somebody who knows what they're doing, she's like, don't worry, go with us, go with me. She said, and I will make sure you have the most efficient experience and I know exactly where to go. That's the key if you're going to do something like that, if you're going to spend that kind of money.
Because, like, obviously we're not, it's like if you find someone that's familiar with the territory, that, and, you know, obviously I know you used to live in Florida, but it's a little bit different when, you know, you could be a little rusty, you don't know tendencies, and if someone's been there a lot.
Well, I haven't been to Disney in many years, so it's totally, it's not going to Florida. Disney's like its own world. You know what I mean? Literally, they have their own world. It's Epcot. So, you know, and then I get confused with which park is affiliated with Disney, which isn't. What do I buy tickets for? So all of that stuff, though, is right. And what you said is right, which is, you know, if you go with somebody who kind of knows the landscape, what they're doing. So, yeah, my buddy John Scott and Heather Prusak, his wife, they go quite often. I know Matt Perino and his family, they go. So I'll lean on them a little bit next time we do. But I think the plan is we'll see when the Bills schedule comes out. We'll see the bye week. And that's what I told Max. I'm like, let's look where the bye week is. We usually go away during the bye week. It's my one time during football season to get a few days off to kind of, you know, recharge the batteries a bit. We try to go somewhere warm. Maybe that's what's going to be the plan. The NFL schedule comes out in about, what, 3-4 weeks. I mean, Mike North said between May 13th and 15th when he was on the podcast, it's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove. Check it out if you haven't. It's a lot of great info there. So we'll find out when the bye week is, when it comes out then. In the meantime, before that, the reason why, people have said to me, why does the NFL wait till May to put the schedule out? Well, because we know right now that they love to own the calendar. And there was really nothing in May to own the calendar with other than rookie minicamp and some OTAs. Now it's like schedule release, because April, when they put it out in April, it was this barrage for the schedule. Then, bam, you turn the page. You don't talk about it because you go to the draft. Now we don't do that. Now it's all draft. We are full steam ahead with the draft. And we are 1 week away from the NFL draft tonight. Like, 1 week from tonight is the 2025 NFL draft. Now, before then, next Tuesday, we will hear from Bills GM Brandon Bean. We'll also hear from quarterback Josh Allen, because the Bills start offseason workouts next Monday. I mean, next Monday, you think about it, You got next Monday, April 21st. The Bills are starting off-season workouts. That's when they can't do anything with coaches, nothing on the field, footballs. It's all conditioning work, basically. Remember, new strength and conditioning coach. Will Greenberg takes over for Eric Ciano. They hired a senior strength and conditioning coach. Barry Rubin is his name. I believe I want to make sure on that, but Barry Rubin. And they're going to, that's their time, right? Strength, conditioning, all that. That's for a few weeks. That starts on Monday. One thing we're going to be thinking about and asking about, obviously attendance, it is all voluntary, is James Cook there? Now, he doesn't have to be. A lot of times guys just aren't there anyway. It has nothing to do with their contract situation, but that's one to monitor all through these off-season workouts and OTAs and mini camps. So next Monday starts that. On Tuesday, we'll hear from Brandon Bean on the draft, Josh Allen on off-season workouts and the draft. He's kind of a draft Nick himself. And then we get to Thursday. And Thursday, it is the first round of the draft. We have basically been, you know, consuming as much as possible and getting to a point where we're all thinking about different players, different positions. I've said, and I will continue to say, as of right now, the way I look at it, if the Bills stay in their current respective spot and position, or at least something similar, it doesn't have to be exactly right, if they're going to pick three picks in the first two rounds or very early third round, because they can move around a little bit, I at this point would be surprised if it's anything other than defense with all three picks. Now, I have no idea what the Bills board looks like. Nobody knows what anybody's board looks like, right? That would be incredible to have you look at their board. I don't know. Maybe they truly have a few wide receivers really high and they say, if these guys fall, we'll take them. I'm just thinking about the way that they talk, what their actions say, what the roster looks like. That's this offseason has been really about attacking defense, except for one player on offense, Joshua Palmer. What have they done in defense? Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Dane Jackson, Derek Forrest. But two of those guys aren't even able to play the first 6 weeks. They need to continue to attack defense. Part of it is because they're so kind of set on offense. Think about their offense. And this is something that we've talked about a lot over the last few months, which is the Bills' offense has everyone returning, essentially. It's not just the, you know, it's not just the starting offensive line. It's like every single backup offensive lineman is returning. You could, the only difference from offensive line is they've added Kendrick Green, a guard. That's it, a veteran guard. Everything else is pretty much the exact same as last year. Wide receiver, they added Joshua Palmer. And for the contract they gave him, for the contract they gave Curtis Samuel last year, and I know that it hasn't worked out after 1 year, and given the fact that they used their first overall pick, which was the second rounder last year, on Keon Coleman, I just don't see a path to them taking a wide receiver that early. They went with an everybody eats mentality, and we can argue or debate how that actually worked or didn't, but the fact is the quarterback won MVP with that group. You think that they're going to think that they have to, oh my God, we're desperate there and need to add more playmakers at wide receiver or pass catcher when you already have a quarterback that won MVP with the group they had and they added Josh Palmer? I just don't think so. It doesn't make sense to me. That's why I don't think they're going to do that. But I do think they need another speedy guy, somebody that can stretch the field that, hey, you know what? We'll put this guy in the field in certain situations against certain matchups. We'll see how it goes. To me, that's day number three. So that brings me back to days number one and two. First round, day one. Second round on day two. And day two, second and third round on day two, or night two, I guess you want to say it that way. And what I've said for the last couple of weeks, I want to say it here on this show because I don't think I've said it enough or right here. I said it with Shelton Bulldog. I said it this morning again on the morning show. I think there are very good context clues on what the Bills are going to do or are looking to do because anything can change, right? But the context clues are when they signed Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and we found out that they're both going to be missing 6 games. Larry Ogunjobi, the Bills, by their own admission, Brandon Bean said, we wouldn't have signed two guys who were getting suspended if we knew that. But by the time they got to the point where they were signing Ogunjobi and then they found out, he said they looked around and they really had no other options. They said, this is the guy because there's no other options we like out there. So they still signed him. And you can criticize Brandon Bean for that all you want. I think that's a fair criticism for the Bills to say, wait a minute, they put themselves in a position, in a box here where they didn't have any other options. That's fine. But they've made the decision then to roll with Larry Ogunjobi, miss 6 weeks. What does that leave them, folks? That leaves them Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. And Zion Logan, Branson Dean, I'm not counting them. Those are practice squad players who you hope, okay, maybe they showed something last year and they can ultimately crack the 53. Chances are less likely for that. So they have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. This is for an organization and a team that believes in rotating its defensive linemen. This is for an organization and a team that did not have enough at that particular spot last year. I'm talking about the interior against the run. By their own admission, they need more. They need more from Ed Oliver, but what they also really maybe need more of is somebody next to Ed Oliver who can help Ed Oliver. If you pair Ed Oliver with a really stout defensive tackle, one technique, a guy who plays more across the, between the center and guard, over the guard, Ed Oliver can be a little bit better. He's impacted by that. And Daquan Jones has been a nice player, but he wasn't quite the guy last year as he was certainly before the injury in 2023 in London. So what did he say? What did Brandon Bean say when they signed Ogunjobi? Well, we didn't love our options. Okay, now you know you're out without him 6 weeks. So what options do you have? If you don't have the option of, and you don't love the options of veteran defensive tackles, then you go draft. I mean, unless there's a trade out there you're going to make, you go draft. And what does this particular draft have? Quite a few of. And is very good as far as the depth is concerned at the position and as far as the value. Defensive linemen, specifically defensive tackles and guys, interior guys that the Bills are looking for. This is kind of, to me, I'm going to say a dream scenario because there's so much unbelievable talent that, you know, there's not... there's not Aaron Donalds and Warren Sapps just sitting out there waiting to get plucked at number 30. That's not what I'm saying. Who knows? Guys could have Hall of Fame careers. So not a dream scenario in that regard. But what it is this draft is a really, really good spot for the Bills to have need meeting value and need meeting opportunity when it comes to the draft. They're picking 30th overall. There's still going to be someone who we all kind of consensusly think, and we don't know what they think, consensus-wise, there should be someone who plays that spot, who they can take at 30, that provides value and also can step on the field. One of the things I hear from Bills fans a lot, talked about this last week before I went on vacation a little bit. One of the things I hear from Bills fans a lot is, they don't play young guys. Well, first of all, it's not true. They do play young guys, but... I will say, they probably don't play as many young guys as other teams play. You know why? Because there's not as much opportunity on the roster for young guys to play. The roster's good. They have veterans. Who are they playing over? There's very few spots that you can draft for the Bills, generally, in this regime, in the last several years, since they have the success. There are very few spots every year that they can draft and just plug a guy in and he's got to play right away. I know you want that. You can't look at it like that. You can't compare the Bills playing these young players and these draft picks and as you can to other teams. Of course, a player who gets drafted by the Las Vegas Raiders is going to have a much better chance to play earlier in his career than he is by the Buffalo Bills. There's going to be more opportunity as long as they draft a guy that they need at that spot, which they should have more needs because that team has more needs and has less depth. The Bills have less needs and more depth than a lot of teams in the league. There are spots that can happen. I remember last year. This happened last year. I got crushed by a lot of you on draft night when I tweeted that I didn't think Cole Bishop would be a day one starter because, you know, that's just hard for guys to do that on this roster. Oh my God, what a wasted draft pick if he's not a day one starter. I can't believe you got to draft a second guy, safety. He's got to play right away. No, that's not how it works. You have to shift your thinking when it comes to a team like the Bills. And sure, there are spots where you say, you know what, Sal? Last year, wide receiver was one of these, right? In 2022, corner was one. But what happened in 2022? They essentially grabbed a corner for need, and he wasn't the right fit. And he wasn't the guy that they thought he'd wind up being. And he's gone now, Kyrie Elam. They did get one in the sixth round who wound up starting. You just never know how this is going to work out, but they clearly had a need there. Last year, wide receiver. But they moved back twice. They got a guy. You know what he did? Started off with, yeah, playing a little bit. Keon Coleman. And then as the season went on, started ramping it up. That's kind of how it works in this system, in this organization. That's why younger guys don't play as much. And you get mad about it. And you get frustrated about it. And you think it's some big agenda that Sean McDermott has or the organization has against young players. It's not true. There are opportunities. Christian, anytime someone brings me up, well, Kyrie Elam, he was drafted and they didn't play him. They didn't give him an opportunity. What that's so frustrating to me to hear that argument. They gave the sixth round pick in the same draft, the same opportunity, and he beat him out. You can't have it both ways. Osiris Torrance was drafted in the second round. He started every single game his rookie year. You'll get the opportunity, but it's hard. It's hard for these guys to come in and do that. So this gets us back to defensive tackle, wide receiver, especially there, corner, which I think they still need to find somebody. But how much can that guy play? And maybe you find a corner like you did with Christian Benford, like you thought you'd have with Kyrie Elam. I just think defensive tackle, defensive line, especially interior defensive tackle, is the area where you'll find with this team, the way they're constructed, them having the best ability in this draft to find someone at 30 who fits the value of the player and the need of the team. And that's why I'm holding on to, that's where they'll go. They have three defensive linemen right now on the roster who you can say are going to make the 53 and be a part of the rotation. Three. Now, they a lot of times only dress four. And maybe you get one of it, but you got to have more. You have to add to that spot. And it's a spot where you can actually play right away on this team. As opposed to, and why I just went through all that, as opposed to a lot of other spots, it's a spot you can actually play right away. I just don't think that's happening at wide receiver. You could be mad and say, well, that doesn't make sense to me, Sal. Why are they holding someone back over Keon Coleman or Curtis Samuel? But just look at how they do it. My job here, I always tell people this, like people accuse and say, oh my God, you defend or whatever with the team. I always just try to give you the team's perspective. And that's my job to me. It doesn't have to be to tell you, like, it doesn't matter what I think, right? I can give you my opinion on what they should do. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I think what you want to know is how do they operate? What are they thinking? And this is my read on it. My read is they're going to go defensive tackle early in this draft. And I think they're going to draft two defensive linemen out of those first three picks and one corner. And to bridge this point and get us to another spot, they had James Bradberry in for a visit this week, right? Did that happen yet, Evan? Did Bradberry come in? I'm sorry. I saw yesterday when I got back from vacation, saw that Bradberry was coming in, but he already came in, or is he coming in?
I know that he came in for a visit.
Okay, came in for a visit. Okay, came in. So it's not future. It's not like he's coming in today. I wanted to make sure I had it right. I think he came in for a visit. Anyway, the point I'm making is when you get a guy like Bradberry, who's already 31 years old, you still have Rasul Douglas out there, Stephon Gilmore out there, Tre'Davious White out there, I think Kendall Fuller out there. Like, there are names. There are veteran names. You might not love those names, but to me, it is the opposite for the Bills, the way they are thinking, than defensive tackle. At defensive tackle, it's, we don't have any options. We got to draft somebody. at corner, it's, yeah, we're going to draft somebody, but we have a few other options that we can bring in to help that position. And that's why I don't think it's such a, that's why I think they can afford more to, or at least they feel that they will, can afford to wait maybe a round or two on corner. If I had to pick right now, I think it's defensive tackle, corner, and then either defensive tackle or edge maybe. That's how I think it goes. I threw a question out on Twitter. I'd like you to respond. At Sal Sports. And that is getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Here is the question I threw out on Twitter. Is there a player that you've warmed up to right now and or a player you've cooled off on right now? Somebody you really like that maybe you didn't, or you just like, you just gone through the process. You're like, hey, you know what? I really like this guy. I think the Bills should look at him. Is there a player that you've kind of cooled down on? A guy that you're like, ah, I just hope they don't go with that guy. That was Keon Coleman for a lot of you last year. Or maybe you liked him, and it's kind of starting to go the other way a little bit. So hit me up on Twitter, at SalSports, on X, whatever you want to call it there. That's all the social handles. Of course, go to YouTube, at SalSports on YouTube. Just hit the 12,000 subscriber threshold. So thank you so much for all of you who are coming over and watching. It's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove and a lot of other stuff. I really appreciate that. Check it all out there. In the meantime, we got to talk Sabres a little bit today. So we're going to do that next with Paul Hamilton. Sabres wrap up their season tonight at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. So Sabres tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers, 7 p.m. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Pregame at 6 here on WGR. At 11 a.m. today, going to talk with Josh Reed. We'll get his read on all of this. WIVB-TV Channel 4 Sports Director. I'm going to be involved on some TV shows with Josh and the crew at Buffalo Kickoff Live. We're starting that today. Josh will give you more of the info, but we'll have a good radio conversation about the Bills and the draft at 11 a.m. Good to be back with you today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton up next on WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring?
Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, it's not like we're not going to hear from Paul after today, but it's always, I guess, a sad day in Buffalo when you realize the hockey season's come to an end, and we've been here way too many times before. It is the end of the season, the final game for the Buffalo Sabres after an 82-game season. They play the Philadelphia Flyers tonight at home. Puck drops at 7, pregame here at 6 on WGR, and of course, you can follow Paul as you have all season long and continue to do so at PHAM1717 at WGR550.com. He joins me now on the West Her Hotline. Paul, give me one word or phrase to sum up this Sabres season for you.
Underachieve. Simple as that.
Yep.
You know, they. I mean, even what they're doing now, they went on like a 6 or 7 week where they're winning hockey games. They're playing the game the right way. If they had a blip along the way, the next game they were fine. It looked like they had turned a bit of a corner as a team. And now all of a sudden, here we are at a four-game losing streak. Poor Lindy Ruff, he's been on win number 899 now for four games. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure the team is hoping they could get him number 900 before this season ends tonight. So, he's been sitting on that one. But it just, you know what these four games have shown is there's still a lot of work to be done. Have they made some progress? Yes, I think they have. I'm not trying to say that those 6 or 7 weeks don't matter. I think they do. I think they proved to themselves that they can be a pretty darn good team when they put their mind to playing the game the right way and playing the way Lindy Ruff wants them to be. But the last four games have shown they're not there yet. You know, there's still work to be done. They're still not a good team because these things keep happening. Jason Zucker was beside himself the other night talking about it. He goes, yeah, we played 50 minutes. So what? The game's 60 minutes. And we got to learn how to stop doing this. We got to learn how to stop winning 5 in a row, then losing 4 in a row. He goes, it's been what we've been doing all year. And he goes, this has to stop. And we have to learn that, you know, how to get over this and get by this. And he's right.
And it just, though, when he says that, I hear another guy who, well, it's not on him for the last 14 years, but he's also part of this group. And it's all that same spin cycle we get into, Paul, which is everybody saying the same thing every year. And then a new group comes in and they say it. And how do you fix it? I'm not really sure. How much different, and we don't have to get into specifics here, but do you really expect like any big overhaul of this roster, like maybe a major player getting shifted and maybe being out or a major player coming in? Do you think that it's just a few minor tweaks here and there? I mean, I don't know what they can do given the restraints of no movement clauses and things like that too.
For 2 years now or more, you know, they've been trying to, you know, find a guy to play with Owen Power, a veteran guy who has his back in all situations, takes care of him and lets him go and do his thing. And to get a veteran like Tuck, like Zucker, to play in the top six. They've got those guys, but they need more. This team is just too many young players who are up and down and up and down. And they miscalculated. They gave guys contracts that probably shouldn't have gotten them when they got them, some of them. And they've learned their lesson. They had 4 or 5 guys they could have given contracts to the last offseason. None of them got them. So I think they figured out that maybe we jumped the gun here on a couple of guys and we probably shouldn't have. They were, you know, guys weren't even getting 100 games in the American Hockey League except for Kulik. I mean, they just weren't developing collectively. There was just a rush to get them up here because, well, it's been 12 years, well, now it's been 13, and now it's been 14, and we got to stop this, and we got to, you know, develop our players quickly, and it's blown up in their face. So, you know, they They have to get some veteran guys. This team has to stop being the youngest team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Even though they've played a lot of games, they've got to get some veterans in here who can play hockey, who are good hockey players that can help them get over these types of humps, who can help them make sure they don't lose 13 in a row or have a 13-game winless streak, however you want to call it. I mean, 13 games, less than a month, blew their season up. They go from third place in the division, 2 points out of second, to last in the conference in less than 4 weeks. And that's crazy. That is just crazy that something like that would happen. And it's crazy you had a GM that froze, that did absolutely nothing during those 13 games. And as said, that maybe he was wrong there. Maybe he should have. You know, now, so he's doubting himself. And a GM who has watched his team digress instead of progress is going to get a sixth year. And that I don't understand either.
Are you confident in that, Paul?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Terry Pegula. He changes his mind at the snap of fingers. And Jason Botterill is a perfect example. Nobody thought he was going to be let go, especially after Kim Pegula came out and said, you know, we know things that you don't know about Jason Botterill, and, you know, gave him a vote of confidence that he was staying, and less than a month later he was gone, with Terry coming out and saying, which, by the way, is the last time he spoke to the hockey media, came out saying, we feel we're not being heard. And that was the end of Jason Botterill. So things can always change in his mind. He's that way. But as of today, I do not think he's planning on changing either the coach or the general manager.
So you and I have always been on the same wavelength of, okay, who cares? It's not about draft picks and all that. But I do want to point out that because of what you said about they don't need to get younger, they're going to pick either 6th, 7th, or 8th, it looks like, if my math is correct. If they lose tonight, it could be 6th. If they win tonight, it could be 8th. Either way, let's just say they're 7th. I'm all aboard, Paul. What you just said is right. I don't care. Just trade the damn pick and get some players in here, right? I mean, like what else do they don't need to keep stockpiling young draft picks here.
Absolutely. And I understand it takes two to trade. I get it. It's hard. I get there are restrictions. I know people talk about the palm trees. Well, the restrictions are real. What it is people don't want to come to a team that hasn't made the playoffs 14 years in a row. That's what it is.
That's right.
When Breer and Drury were here, they had no trouble getting players here. The Buffalo Bills, now that they have Josh Allen and a winning and Sean McDermott here, they don't have trouble getting players. When they hadn't been in the playoffs for 17 years, well, I'm sure players didn't want to come here either. So that's
right,
the
Paul. Can I just say, and I think you'll agree with me when I say this. Is it fair to say Kevin Adams may have said it wrong and it came out wrong and it didn't sound good? We all know that, and he deserves kind of criticism for that and saying it. He wasn't totally wrong what he was trying to say.
No, he wasn't wrong.
What he's trying to say is, listen, you got to give them a reason to come here, because otherwise, why would you come to a place where there are higher taxes? You can live in warmer weather. You win, that's the reason you would want to come here then, and then it takes care of everything else.
And if you do win, they will want to come here, and that's the key to the whole thing. But it's still, I know it's hard, but it's still his job. It's his job to get these trades done, and he's had a couple of years to get these bigger trades done. And it's all also he's made some good trades. It's not all bad. McLeod was a good trade.
Yeah.
Getting Alex Tuch here, you know, doing the best he could in the Reinhardt and Eichel trades. You know, those aren't easy trades when you have star players who say, I don't want to be here anymore. Well,
I don't think Byram's a bad deal with Mittelstadt. Yeah,
Byram is a great deal for them. Yeah. So it's not like everything is bad. I think it's more of the fact is he didn't get the whole thing done. He got part of the job done. Were they harder to play against with Malenstein? Yes. Lafferty didn't work out the way I thought it would. Malenstein has. McLeod has. Signing Jason Zucker has worked out. I think the Greenway deal or trade has worked out. Greenway brings things to the team when he's healthy, and that's key, that other players don't. His anticipation to forcing turnovers and those types of things is something that he does very well. But I think the whole key to the thing is he didn't go far enough. You know, he talked about, you know, he was willing to trade that pick last year. And it was like, well, we kind of almost had a deal, but the other team wouldn't trade him. And he said, and that player hasn't been traded. Guess what? That player's been traded. You know, at the time he said it, he hadn't been. But later in the year, he was traded to the Colorado Avalanche. So it can, things can change. And that's the thing. You got to find a way to get it done, even when it's hard.
Paul's appearances here on WGR, as always, are brought to you by, I got to grab it right here. There you go, Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Paul, what is the situation short and, well, I guess it doesn't matter now. Short term, there's one game, but really long term here, what do we know or think we know about Owen Power?
Kevin Adams told Shope and the Bulldog that I believe he's in New York today. Getting another opinion. So maybe we'll know more when Adam speaks on Saturday about what, you know, where that's going to be headed and what kind of rehab is going to be in on that. So, you know, he's busy doing that today. I would tend to doubt we'll get a chance to talk to him on locker cleanout. I don't know that for sure. But as I said, we get to talk to Adams. And by the way, we will have local programming on WGR Saturday. Kevin Adams will probably speak somewhere between 4 and 5:30, I would think. What the holdup is you know, they're interviewing players, the coach and the general manager. They don't know how long they're going to be talking to players. It could be an hour, it could be 5 minutes. So, you know, they're hoping to have Kevin Adams with us by 4:30, but you just never know. But we will have local programming on, and we will be bringing everybody those interviews on Saturday later, because usually Sports Talk Saturday ends at 2 o'clock. It will end after Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams speak, which, again, might be 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Okay, but are we? Is it a possibility this could be into next year, this kind of injury, whatever he has?
Kevin told Shope and the Bulldog that he should be ready to play next year. He should be ready for when the season starts. So that was his comment on that. It sounds like, you know, Josh Norris, if this was a playoff game today, mm-hmm. would be playing. Mm-hmm. Lindy Ruff said he's feeling much better, but he's not playing. He said that last game. Meaning, why do it? Why chance it? You know, he's feeling better. What's the point of putting him out there for a game or two and chancing it? Let's just start fresh next year. That's what I took out of that.
I agree with you. It feels to me like both Norris and Greenway were kind of just shut down for the year for that same reason, right?
They ran out of games. I mean, if there were still 3 weeks left in the season, I think Josh Norris would be out there. But with just a game or two, I just think they looked at what is the point? Let's just start fresh next year.
Want to ask you about Lindy Ruff before we go. You've known Lindy a long time. And, you know, you covered him here in Buffalo. I mean, we both watched him play here in Buffalo. You covered him as a player. You covered him as a coach. He comes back. And he said, and he was pretty direct when he was asked the other day. He said, I'm disappointed. I mean, in the season, the result of the season, I'm disappointed. There was a thought that maybe he'd get this team to the playoffs and walk away into the sunset or maybe go into a different role. I know we've talked, Paul, about the fact that it feels pretty clearly here now that he's coming back. Just give me a sense of what you think about Lindy as a person and competitor and where his mind is right now with everything.
And Kevin Adams did say the other day that Lindy Ruff is coming back. So,
okay, thank you.
He was very definitive in that. But, yeah, Lindy is extremely upset he hasn't fixed this yet. Or it took too long, you know, where they started playing. Mm-hmm. It was too late in the season for it to matter. And that really upsets him, and I think it really drives him. I wasn't sure until the last couple times I've heard him talk about it. And he talks about it almost with venom in his voice. Like, I did not get this team where it needs to be, and it's unfinished business. And I know he wants to provide this area. This is his home. And it's been his home even as coach of the Stars and coach of the Devils. And he wants to bring a winner to this city. And it really upsets him that this year went the way it did. And so I think he definitely wants to be back. And Kevin Adams did say he would be back.
All right, Paul. Iowa State. Who's the guy that looked like Iowa State? There was a guy I looked at Iowa State the other day. I'm like, you know, oh, Jaden Higgins? What do you think about him? You got Jaden
Higgins,
wide receiver.
Great.
Yeah, you like him, right?
He's always open. And when he's not, he still makes a play for you. He really competes for the ball. So, you know, Rocco Becht knew he could throw it near the end zone or if he needed a first down, even if Hayden or if he wasn't, if Higgins wasn't covered or what or was covered, I'm sorry, he's big enough that he could get the ball to him. He's not like a speedster, but he can get open like on patterns downfield. You know, all of a sudden, you're thinking, boy, he can't fly, but look at, he shook his man and he's open. It just seemed like he was always there for him. That would be a guy I definitely would, you know, I think would is going to be a good NFL player and somebody I think the Bills should be interested in now. And, of course, the corner that
Darian Porter. That's what my next one. I love Darian Porter. I think Darian Porter fits everything for the Bills. Checks all the boxes. 6'3", runs sub 4.440. Really good athlete. I think that's a kid that if the Bills were to draft Darian Porter in round two, I'd be really happy with that.
And teams used to look away from him when he was out there a lot.
Yeah. Love it. All right, Paul. Well, I'll let you get back to work. All right, what is the schedule? Tomorrow, right away, locker clean-out? Is that how this works?
Yeah, about 10 o'clock we'll get started, and we're just in the room the whole time. And just so people know, I'm going to try to get some interviews to you guys as quickly as I can while you're on the air before noon. So hopefully you'll be able to get some guys on talking at locker clean-out tomorrow.
All right, Paul. Thanks for all your outstanding coverage all year, but we'll talk again. Thanks for today.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton right there. Yeah, Sabres wrap it up tonight. Hard to believe. I remember, you know, opening season. Here we go, Lindy, let's go. But that was out in Europe, right, when they played and didn't go very well. First two games. They come back, they play a good game at home, but lose and score one goal. And then, you know, first three games, one goal, one goal, one goal, I think, each of the first three, right, if I remember correctly, New Jersey, L.A. And then they won a couple of games, started to feel a little bit better, or at least, you know, one to bounce back a little bit, and then it just never got on track the way it should have. And as Lindy said, and as Paul said about what Lindy thinks, just he never could fix it on time. And he's upset about that, and he's disappointed, and everybody's disappointed. Another year, here we go, right? So we'll see what happens, but immediate stuff is tonight, game against the Flyers. You wrap it up, it's fan appreciation night tonight. And then, of course, locker clean out tomorrow. And then they look forward to free agency and the draft. We will take a timeout. We are looking forward to the draft. The NFL draft, that is. 1 week from tonight, Josh Reed, WIVB-TV Channel 4 Sports Director, joins me at 11 a.m. here after this quick segment when we come back on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, going to get to Josh Reed coming up at 11 a.m. We had some news come over today that Lee Corso, the iconic ESPN broadcaster, I'm reading directly from, I think I'm reading from Grok right here. I looked at the story. I think this is the AI. Iconic ESPN broadcaster. I think that's right. Anyway, Lee Corso, you know him, legend in the broadcasting industry, college football game day, former coach, but really known for being a broadcaster. The headgear, he wears the headgear. that made it famous. He will retire after the show's week one episode, it says, on August 30th, 2025. So, man, he's been on since 1987. Amazing. What a great career. He is fun and entertaining, but obviously, you know, over the last few years, you can see that he hasn't been quite himself and the same, but when he's been on there, it's still great to watch because he loves college football so much, loves getting into what he's saying and wearing the headgear and all that. So we're going to miss him, no doubt. I'm a Lee Corso fan, but he is going to be retiring after the very first show this week, week one, which will be August 30th of this year. Josh Reed comes up next from WIVB TV Channel 4, the sports director there. We are going to be doing some TV shows over the next couple of weeks, including today. He'll tell you a little bit more about that and where you can find it. And then leading up to the draft and then post-draft over on Channel 4 on Buffalo Kickoff Live. So we'll talk draft. We'll talk about the TV shows, but I'll get his thoughts and we'll hear his thoughts on what the Bills may do, where they may go, what they'll be looking at, as well as, oh yeah, a little NBA playoffs with Josh. He's a Cleveland Cavaliers guy. They got the number one seed in the East. We'll talk with him about all of that when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.